Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We'd love to hear from you. To learn how we can pray for you or answer any questions, you can email Pastor John directly at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
You may have noticed I'm not preaching this morning. And I am just very excited. Chaplain Mike Griggs, who's our Coast Guard chaplain here in South Portland, and actually oversees all of the northeastern sector, which is how many square miles or whatever you told me the other night?
11,000.
11,000 square miles. Right. Okay. 11,000 square miles that he oversees as chaplain for the Coast Guard, is based out of here in South Portland, has been worshiping with us the last few weeks. And I said, Chaplain Mike, wouldn't you like to preach? And give me a Sunday to take a little break. And I said, I think they're tired of hearing my voice. I'm tired of hearing my own voice, so it's time to hear a different voice. And so we're very excited and grateful to have Chaplain Mike share with us a little later this morning. So thank you for your ministry to us and alongside us.
Good morning. It is good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to make sure and say thank you to John, Pastor John, and you know, back home we would call them Brother John and Sister Melody, but I don't think that's quite your tradition up here, you know. So Pastor John and Melody for having us in their home the other night with a wonderful meal, and I like the way things are set up here. He asked me something originally about sharing. I said, would love to, and as long as there's no trap door that shoots me out in the parking lot if I go over time, and only to walk up here and see that there is a big clock right here. And so now I'm just looking for the button, you know. Thank you for allowing me to come and to share with you. As a Navy chaplain, we serve many different places and many different areas and many different branches. And so, yes, I'm with the Coast Guard. And so to kind of clarify something that was alluded to a little bit earlier, my area of responsibility goes from Lake Champlain over to the seacoast, up to the Canadian border, and then down to the Kittery area. But not all of those places have Coast Guard stations. You've got a lot of land in between. So see, you've got the nine station and then the cutters and the boats and, you know, various other elements that are there. But it's a pleasure to be here with you today. I want to make sure and say thank you to the Owens family. It always makes me feel better when the person that's designated as our doc goes with me somewhere, you know. And so that would be HS1 Owens, as we would call them there. But I'm so glad that they're here with us. I also want to make sure and say thank you to my wife and daughter, Annalisa, and to Beverly for being here with us today. It's always a pleasure when they come out and hear the same stuff again over and over. You know, makes me know that they love me much, you know. And so just a little bit of setup. I believe in keeping things according to the KISS principle. Keep it simple, sweetheart. So everything I do will be just kind of simple as I go through the message today. This is my first time here in the pulpit, and Mr. Owens asked me, are you nervous? I said, well, no. It's just been a few years since I've been in a church pulpit, done chapel pulpits and that kind of thing. And it reminded me of the story of the young man that just got out of seminary, and he went to his first pastorate. And as he went to his first pastorate, there he was preaching his first sermon on the second coming of the Lord, just to show you that on first times, a lot of different crazy things can happen, you know. And so he was in one of those bullpens, I mean pulpits, you know, where that you had the pulpit, you know, kind of up here in the very front, right behind the altar rail. And he was preaching on the second coming of the Lord his first Sunday there, and he was preaching on the topic of the second coming of the Lord, and he got to his point in his sermon where he said, "Behold, I come quickly," and all of a sudden, nothing made sense to him, and he just went blank. He got just completely nervous, and as he did so, he thought, "Well, In seminary, they taught me that if I would repeat my former point again, that it would jog my memory. So he said again with a little more fire and venom, "Behold, I come quickly." And as he did so, nothing came to him. By this time, people were clipping their fingernails and, you know, looking through the hymn book, stuff like that. And so third time he says, "Behold, I come quickly," even with more force and venom. And he took a step to the podium. And when he did, he knocked it over. And there were flowers in the front, and he knocked those over. As he tried to catch all that, he fell over right at the feet of a little old lady that, was just a precious, sweet little lady with blue hair, seated on the front row, kind of the church matriarch there. And he got up apologizing to her, and his face was just crimson red, you know, about the color of my shirt. He said, "I'm so sorry I've embarrassed you." She said, "Oh, no, Sonny, it was my fault. Don't worry about it." And so they went through that routine. "I'm sorry," she said, "it's my fault." And finally he said, "Why is it that you're saying that this was your fault?" She said, "Well, you told me three times you were coming, and I didn't get up and move, you know." So, odd things can happen. And Beverly and Annalisa can laugh just like they've never heard that before. Amen? Okay. The topic of my sermon today is life, light, living. Your identity, subtopic, your identity in Christ. I will read from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 8 through 14. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" There are kind of three sections to this scripture, and it's kind of hard to get a handle on that to make it easy for us to remember, so I'm going to kind of rename them as I go. To begin with, in verse 8, section A, it talks about your identity in Christ, that light is the identity of the Christian. So I'm going to call that your destiny. And then in verses 8b through 13, it talks about how that we relate as light to all people, to other Christians, and to a darkened world. So therefore, I'm going to call that our direction as light. And then it talks about, in verse 14, how that it is our job to invite others into the fellowship of the light. And I'm going to call that our determination. So you can call this a 3D sermon this morning, okay? And you won't even have to put on special glasses. To begin with, destiny. We're beacons. We're not bathroom scales, okay? We're beacons, not bathroom scales. In the passage of scripture that was read there in John the 9th chapter, you find that there are multiple layers of people getting it wrong. The disciples wanted to know who sinned, and then everybody was trying to figure out who sinned that made the man blind. Jesus was in sin, some would say, but over and over and over, we find that the way that entire passage of Scripture relating to the blind man that was healed in chapter 9 comes back to how that the whole purpose of his malady had nothing to do with his sin or his parents' sin, but so that the people that surround him would learn how to glorify God in the midst of that. Isn't that what Jesus said? That we would learn to glorify God. And he healed the man. And it brought glory to God. The disciples condemned him. And some others did. Well, we may see the biblical logic of a situation, but we must wait until the timing of Christ is right as his light. And then do things his way. Or instead, we get out of sync with the invitation to take my yoke upon you. For see, the Bible tells us specifically that faith only by works, as it is motivated by love. Faith works by love. And so as Christ looked at the The blind man, he saw him through eyes of love, not through trying to analyze what went wrong. He just loved him. He just loved him. One of the reasons that the world doesn't see the church in a more attractive way today is that we spend more time fault-finding than following Jesus. See, the whole concept of us doing this exposing of the unfruitful works of darkness doesn't come from us pointing the finger, but it just comes from us being the light and let the Holy Spirit doing the work of conviction. Our identity is light. My middle name is Henry. It is not Michael Holy Ghost Griggs. So it's not my job to convict or to condemn. The scripture says there's therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, it's not my job to condemn you. It's not my gem to condemn the world, but rather to just shine, because that is my identity. That is my destiny, ultimately. And as the Father produces that light within us, as we each come to Christ, then it's our job simply to shine. Well, may God give us the grace as the church to stop pointing fingers of accusation and to just simply lay hands on all of the blind so that they will have more light. That way, the world and the church will find, the world will find that the church will be absolutely lovely and beautiful and desirable. Now, from the concept of destiny to the concept of direction, I want to use a little Coast Guard jargon here. They have these things called AtoNs. Do any of you know what those are? Anybody? AtoN is an aid to navigation device. And we have ships that all they do is place those things. And, you know, a lighthouse is one type of an AtoN. And that's a great thing. Helps ships come into the harbor when it's very dark. And so, but AtoNs, sometimes they are the buoys that are out there. And they have lights on them that you can see both in the daytime and you can see at night. An AtoN, an aids to navigation. Well, you know, everybody needs help with direction. If you want to dispute that, tell me you don't have a GPS system somewhere in your possession. We all need help in direction sometimes. So AtoNs are kind of important. They can be lighthouses, buoys, and sometimes day beacons. And they assist navigators in determining their position or safe course and to warn them of dangers of obstructions to navigation. Before there was electricity, there were these things called lower lights, where that in a harbor you would have the lighthouse, but then there would be lights that would be placed around. The story is told some years ago about how that down here at Chicago, there was a ship that was coming in, and as he was coming in, they could see the lights, and there were no lower lights for whatever reason, I'm not familiar enough with the story to know exactly why. Maybe it was the time of electricity and electricity was out. Maybe there had been a storm. I'm not sure. But there were no lower lights. And what they would do then, instead of having the buoys out there to guide them through the channels and safe passageways, they would have alternate points of navigation, the lighthouse for the main one, and then the lower lights for all of the other points to be able to say, all right, I see this one, so I navigate this way, etc. And so it didn't have those, but they could go toward the lighthouse, but eventually they hit a sandbank, and the ship broke up enough that they lost a lot of lives. There was a man there that he heard of that, and he wrote a song. You're familiar with the song? Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Somebody help me sing the chorus of that. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave, Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Direction. Direction is very important. We are people of destiny as we live in lifelike living. We are people of direction. In John, the 14th chapter, 26th verse, the Bible says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Well, let me kind of come at that verse from a little bit of a different angle. God will not allow nuclear material to be placed in a styrofoam cup. He wants us as his people to learn to hear his voice so that in all things we grow up into the image and the likeness of Christ. And the more we grow, the stronger the stuff he puts on the inside of us. That's just the way the kingdom works, you know. That was one time that a couple of disciples came to Jesus and said, "At your word, we will call down fire and we will destroy this city because they did not receive your message." And Jesus said, "Boys, you don't understand the spirit that you're of." And what he was alluding to was the same thing that was read about in John the 9th chapter. You know, their spirit were not right. That's why David was chosen instead of his brothers, because his spirit wasn't right. The Bible says that my spirit will not dwell within an unclean temple, an unclean vessel. And so he's waiting for us. The more we give ourselves to him, the stronger the stuff he puts within us. That's just the way he works. It's our direction. He leads us and he guides us. In this concept of light, you know, the measurements, I looked up online and I didn't realize that there were so many different ways of talking about the measurements of light. You know, candela, lumens, foot candles, and lux. And I think most of the time we talk about lumens. And so if you're a specialist in that area, you know, correct me later, please. And so, it seems as if lumens are the most common measurement of intensity of brightness in a dark room and at the length of 1 foot. Well, see, the problem of indwelling sin is that it causes us to lose our direction because we kind of begin to not just falter, but eventually begin to sink. It has a downward pull on us. One of the things that I had to learn to do as a Navy chaplain was pass their swim qual. Now, I had been swimming for years, and I enjoy swimming, but at the same time, some of the things that we had to do in the swim call, I had never done. Now, doing the minimum amount of laps was easy. You know, even for an old fat guy like me, that was no problem. But at the same time, there are some things I was not prepared for. We had to jump in the water from a tower and come back up and go to the bank or to the side of the swimming pool. And bank, that's my heritage, you know. We did our swimming in the rivers and stuff. But coming to the side of the pool was easy. But then we had to jump in full uniform minus the boots and learn how to take our uniform off in the water and be able to catch air in it and make flotation devices out of it. And that was a little bit of a challenge. And you would think that would have been the most difficult thing that we did. And some of you are familiar with these swim qual kind of things. But the thing that surprised me that was the hardest thing to do for me was treading water for an extended period of time. Because I just never tried it, never thought about it. And so I was kind of unprepared for it. And so So here I am out there doing the scissors kick and trying to figure out, because I had been watching them. They do it in small groups, and then they time you and that kind of thing. And I remember how much it helped for those that were on the side of the pool to shout, "You can do it." And because they were shouting, "You can do it," that helped give me the kind of mental focus that it took for direction in passing that particular qualification. See, that's what your light does for one another. It gives the encouragement. You know, as Pulpit Supply, I see my primary purpose of being here as encouraging you where you are in Christ in this particular moment of your maturity and growth. I see that as my foremost job. So I want to encourage you to be light for one another. Yes, you have a destiny in Christ, but you have a direction to go. And that direction that you go in as you walk by the Holy Spirit not just helps you achieve your destiny, but it helps one another be encouraged to where that they do not give in to the constant tug of all the things that work against the Spirit and the nature of Christ. The second verse says, "Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching and longing for the lights," and I would add, our lights, "along the shore." Help me sing the chorus again. "Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save." Third point of the 3D sermon is determination. One of the things that I see constantly that destroys people's lives in my job is a lack of impulse control. You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit gives His people is, and He offers to us, is that He offers to us not a will of iron, but He gives us a gift of self-discipline. He gives that. That's one of His gifts. And one of the key things that I see, and I go through this conversation ever so often with people about how that people will, between the ages of 18 and 25, you know, the statistics show that, you know, that's like 80 to 90% of whom I deal with. But yet, that age group of people still need to be encouraged in this area more than any other age group. Statistically, it just comes out that way. But a lack of impulse control causes people to quit early, not to complete with excellence, and not to finish well. Luke 21:19 says, "In your endurance possess ye your souls." And there are other scriptures about that. And so I want to take that and kind of move toward something that I experienced Friday night. Some of the others from the church here were at the movie with me, and Beverly and myself, as we went to see God's Not Dead. And excellent movie. I hope you go to see it. And while we were there, I watched toward the end of the movie that they had a moment in which everyone took their cell phones and they texted everyone that they knew, "God's not dead." And it factored out to about 1 million people, and then they held their cell phones up and you saw these little lights all over this particular scene at the end, toward the end of the movie. And these were very, very young people having light for Jesus the Christ. And I thought, that is just phenomenal. That is so smart. In the book, You Lost Me, by David Kinnaman, he shares the results of 350,000 interviews with people done by the Barna Group. And if you know anything about research, you know that the Barna Group is one of the top groups in the nation. And 350,000 interviews where that they talk about, where are these people, the generation that everyone is saying that we've lost, and he goes in and finds out and gives us a conclusion of those findings of why they say between the ages of 18 and 29, why you have lost us. And I won't try to go through any of those reasons, but the chief thing that he says that we have to learn how to do as the church today is to take the Great Commission and see it in terms of using modern technology to reach a world that lives behind a screen. 350,000 interviews says that. What color was that page you were talking about this morning? Green or orange or something? I mean, how timely. How timely. We as the church have to redefine how we interact with the Great Commission to be able to do that. People basically live and relate behind a screen today of that age group. And so we don't want to be ever say, well, we lost you. No. We're seeking ways to redefine how to interact at this level. Verse 3. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some perceive in tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. One last time. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. By practicing life light living, you may become God's eitan for your area of responsibility, your AOR of planet Earth. This world needs for us to practice life light living. You are God's light, God's aid to navigation. Now, in Christ's holy name, go forth and pierce the darkness. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.